Promoting interreligious dialogue and being witnesses of Christ's peace and brotherhood in a majority Muslim nation, that's what Pope Benedict wants to see from Catholics in Indonesia. Speaking to the country's 37 bishops here in Rome for their ad limina visit in the Vatican in October, the Pope praised the local church's ministry and its charitable, social, and educational efforts in Indonesia, where 7 million Catholics live among more than 200 million Muslims. In bringing the tender compassion of God to many members of Indonesian society in all that the Church and her members do, the Pope said, helps make the triune God known and loved through Jesus Christ.
This will not only contribute to the spiritual vitality of the Church as she grows in confidence through humble yet courageous witness, it will also strengthen Indonesian society by promoting those values that your fellow citizens hold dear: tolerance, unity, and justice for all citizens. The freedom to live and preach the gospel can never be taken for granted and must always be justly and patiently upheld. Nor is religious freedom merely a right to be free from outside constraints. It is also a right to be authentically and fully Catholic, to practice a faith, to build up the Church, and to contribute to the common good, proclaiming the gospel as good news for all, and inviting everyone to intimacy with the God of mercy and compassion made manifest in Jesus Christ.
Pope Benedict also noted that Indonesia's constitution guarantees the fundamental human right of freedom to practice one's religion, and said such freedom should never be taken for granted.
The freedom to live and preach the gospel can never be taken for granted and must always be justly and patiently upheld. Nor is religious freedom merely a right to be free from outside constraints. It is also a right to be authentically and fully Catholic, to practice a faith, to build up the Church, and to contribute to the common good, proclaiming the gospel as good news for all, and inviting everyone to intimacy with the God of mercy and compassion made manifest in Jesus Christ.
The Holy Father encouraged the bishops in their continuing efforts to promote and sustain interreligious dialogue in Indonesia and to encourage the faithful there to act as agents of peace and charity.
Your country, so rich in its cultural diversity and possessed of a large population, is home to significant numbers of followers of various religious traditions. Thus, the people of Indonesia are well placed to make important contributions to the quest for peace and understanding among the peoples of the world. Your participation in this great enterprise is decisive, and so I urge you, dear brothers, to ensure that those whom you shepherd know that they, as Christians, are to be agents of peace, perseverance, and charity.
Believers in Christ, rooted in charity, the Pope said, ought to be committed to dialogue with other religions, respecting mutual differences. Common endeavors for the upbuilding of society, he said, will be of great value when they strengthen friendships and overcome misunderstanding or distrust.
By encouraging everyone to be open to dialogue in the service of peace and harmony, by doing everything possible to ensure that the rights of minorities in your county are respected, you further the cause of tolerance and mutual harmony in your country and beyond.
We are minority in number, but we live our faith and we try to live it even more faithfully. And based on that faith, we have contributed to the social life of our people in education, in healthcare, in charity works, which are very well accepted and very highly respected by the nation.
president of the Indonesian Bishops Conference, Bishop Martinus Dogma Situmorang of Padang, Sumatra, tells Emer McCarthy that the Indonesian church works hard with the leaders of other religions, fellow Christians, and the government to ensure that solidarity and tolerance permeate all levels of society, particularly, he says, the ordinary people, the marketplace of true dialogue, to help eradicate fundamentalism.
Many of our laypersons are involved in politics, in economic works, and they are very much liked and respected because all over the world, honesty, responsibility, and intelligence are very much, basically, are well accepted by people, despite the tendency to be sometimes discriminative, no? Depending on where do you come from, what is your background, what religion do you adhere to. But finally, good people respect the values that you cherish and you live.
Interreligious dialogue, how difficult is it? What are the challenges?
The dialogue is difficult to and with those Islamic movements who are more inclined to be political, to be exclusively religious in a sense, but always with some interests in political and economic field. With them, it's difficult to dialogue because they look at us as we are infidels and those kinds of things. But also they are very severe in front of the moderate Muslims, no? It's not only twice, but I know very well because we have close collaboration and dialogue and we meet quite often with the leaders of the Muslim communities. And we talk together to our president, to the authorities, to denounce the lack of morality and the lack of interest in the welfare of our people. But with all the religious leaders, not only Catholic, not only Muslims. Why? Because we talk about the welfare, the good of our people, not about religions, not about the groups of people exclusively interested in something, no? But still, we have to nourish, we have to cherish and develop this spirit of dialogue because it doesn't happen and take place at all levels, no? It has to go down to take roots in among the ordinary people. At the same time, also the marketplace of true dialogue, in a sense, no? Ordinary people are good people. They don't bother whether they were a Protestant or Catholic or Hindu, but we are brothers, we live together, we are Indonesians, no? That's why the political and economic interests are very often the cause of these conflicts and violences, but covered with religious terminologies.
Is this also an issue that we see not only in often difference of opinion between Catholic and Muslims, but also perhaps the challenge between Catholics and Christians of other denominations in Indonesia, mm-hmm. No? Particularly the evangelical, Pentecostal Christian churches, perhaps looking more to ecumenism than interreligious dialogue, is that also something that the bishops are quite involved in?
Yes. With the Indonesian Communion of Churches, we have very good relationships. They come to our annual meetings of the bishops. We go to the headquarters. We talk about things, especially if events strike us as Christians in the country. We talk together. We discuss, we take position, express our opinions. We cannot go deeper into ecumenism in the sense of theological and, let me say, Christian truth. But we are very close in dealing with our social concerns, social problems. But with those evangelical Pentecostal groups, we do. And especially the Protestant churches have problems because they are like the owner of the whole truth and they do the evangelization works in such a way that are not rational in a sense and which forget all the, let me say, basic human fraternal attitudes in coming to people and in dealing with them. They are just coming powerful, and according to our Muslim brothers and the Protestants, traditional Protestants, they are just doing all kinds of ways to take away the adherents of the Protestant Church as also the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. And this can sometimes create tension, which then reflects badly on the entire Christian community, which is still a minority. Is that not the case?
Yes, surely yes, because they are very much inclined in building churches, which in itself is not bad, no? But since it is not considering the real situation of ours...
Local sensibilities.
Then it gets difficult for themselves, which for many Muslims identified to all Protestants and Catholics as well, no? So, in a sense, they damage the sense of unity, the sense of closeness to people, the sense of brotherhood among ourselves, and also, for sure, in front of our brother Muslims.
Let's talk about religious freedom then. It's obvious you have a very good relationship, as you said, at a very high level with the religious leaders of Indonesia, and not only, but also with the political leaders of your country, which is always a positive thing. But at a grassroots level, across this vast archipelago, is religious freedom still a battle? Is it respected? What is the situation with freedom of worship?
Oh yes, we have a freedom of religions. We can express ourselves as Catholics, especially in worships. No problems. We have never been disturbed or prohibited. The problem comes up when certain places of worships were built out of the ordinary permission or agreement of the people, which, according to me, is not good enough, no? Because religion is very basic right of every human being. No? You can worship, you can build your church. But again, you have to also obey the ordinary living together of people. No?
If I'm not mistaken, local communities have to vote whether they agree with a church being built in their local community
yes,
or not.
Yes, yes, it's true. It's quite limitative in a sense, no? But at the same time...
Particularly if the local community is majority Muslim, or if the local community is majority...
You can find difficulty. In that, mm-hmm. in that case, you find difficulties to build church. While actually, there's always place where you can worship in a kind of private way, not building church, but you can use your private facility to worship, no? Mm-hmm. Which, according to me, in faith, it doesn't matter, no? Mm-hmm. But again, basically, it's against religious freedom to my...
Your constitution.
Yeah, you are right. Five principles.
The pillars of Indonesia, the modern state. What are those?
They are believing in God. Social justice, living together in peace, then common consideration in arriving to final agreement. And the other one is the welfare for all the citizens of the country.
What would you see as the greatest fruits that the Indonesian church can bring to the universal church? And what do you see as the greatest challenges still facing your church today?
Our contribution to the universal church is that we live locally, faithfully to the teachings of the church and the good news of Jesus Christ the Lord. Locally, contextually, in real surroundings where we are living. You know? And we are alive, in a sense, we are really alive. We thank God for being alive as a church. And the challenge is that we have to continue more intensely and a greater awareness that we have to form our people to be more deeper and deeper in faith so that they have contribution to modern life and contribution to our people. So that being Catholic, being Christian, not just meaning doing things or rituals or worships, but real good news in life. We have to be proud but praising the Lord while embracing the whole church as well.
And that was the president of the Indonesian Bishops' Conference, Bishop Martinus Situmorang of Padang, Sumatra. He was speaking there to my colleague Imer McCarthy.